And hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to our D1 Baseball Weekend Preview, Instagram Live, IG Live, as the kids would say. We just mentioned the word pros, and I've got two absolute pros on this IG Live tonight. I've got the great Aaron Fitt. I got the great Chris Budden. And you guys are the pros. Like, you two are the people in college baseball that we could go send you to do world affairs. You could do Washington, D.C. You could do any sport. And you guys, Fitzy is like an 80 writer. KB, you're the reporter's reporter. The rest of us are just these college baseball lackeys who love the sport. Nothing wrong with that. But you guys are the ones that make us better. You're the pros' pros. So that makes this a very special Instagram Live. Lucky us is what I'm saying.
You're awfully generous because more knowledge of this sport than anyone that I have ever met. And I also just appreciate like your genuine enthusiasm for the game. And so, no, I feel lucky to be on here with both of you guys.
Yes.
You know, Runes, I think you should get into motivational speaking when this is all over. You always make me feel so good about myself. I mean, it's the best. You're the best, Runes.
It's better.
Oh, gosh, that's great. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right. So, KB, before we get into our weekend preview, we have to have some fun with some stuff. So, your husband has a first name that is of particular interest to me because I'm from the Philadelphia area, and I feel like your husband's first name is a name that us from the Philadelphia area are just wired to mess up. Like, I want to say Mario, but then now I'm in the Southwest. I don't know if I should say Mario. So can you coach us up on how to say your husband's first name?
Okay, it's funny you say that because different family members say it differently. So like, I call him Mario, but like some of my cousins say Mario.
Okay, that's great.
I grew up in New York. So it's like, the family that grew up in Florida calls him Mario and the family that grew up in New York calls him Mario. And his mom calls him Maji. So
Maji, that's good. So that's good. So I feel like we have carte blanche to just go with whatever happens.
Yeah.
It's Fitzy, you know this, but it's one of my favorite things about Dan McDonald, the head coach at Louisville, is he's a New Yorker, right? Like an unabashed, unshameful New Yorker. So, you know, the people in Louisville call it Louisville or Louisville. You know, like there's that Southern pronunciation. Dan McDonald's been there 15 years. He's like they're going to make statues about him. And it's been Louisville since day one. And it's going to be Louisville until the retirement ceremony. And
that's
I love
so
that.
Funny. That's so funny that you said that because I just spoke with him, I think, last week for the Henry Davis thing. And Henry Davis, by the way, another New York guy, grew up 10 minutes from Dan. And you know, I've been talking to the guy, like you said, 15 years, whatever it's been, and it's hit me that he said Louisville. And by the way, the other day I was like, man, am I doing this wrong? Like, have I been saying it wrong all these years? No, it's just him. It's just him.
Same thing about where I went to college. People call the state Missouri or Missouri.
Yeah. What do you got on that, KB? Where are you going with?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're a Texan. So, okay, KB, that's another deep dive we got to do quickly. So you grew up in Atlanta for a little bit and then moved to Texas, correct?
Yes. So
do you consider yourself a Texan or a Georgian?
A Texan. I moved to Texas when I was 11, and it's, you know, those are your more like formative years. And now we've moved back here.
Yeah. Which is so fit. So your friend Aaron Fitt here was a New Englander growing up, but I think he considers himself more of a like kind of streamlined Californian now, like, you know, like appreciates the finer things in life. And, you know, like, come on.
You know, the weird part, Runes, is I'm really more of a Southerner than any of those things. I've been in North Carolina for the better part of 21 years. So we hit a little 3-year interlude in California. Those were formative years. but I'm a Durhamite. That's what I am.
Oh, I like that. And Durham is a hipster town now. Like, Durham is cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't deny it.
Yes, that's good. All right. So one other thing, KB, that we need to investigate here. So your husband is a Tennessee guy. He's a Vol football fan, I'm assuming.
Yes.
And so, you know, Burke, we all have our good friend Chris Burke, who, you know, just he's always trying to drag people onto the Vol football bandwagon. He actually succeeded in dragging our friend Dave Neal into the bandwagon, only to see it just crash and burn. You know, Burke had advertised this. It's a new decade of dominance. And this is now we got a new coach. Like, this is after 3 or 4 games this year. So, KB, if you could Could you paint a picture for us of your household on Saturday afternoons in the fall regarding Tennessee? Yeah. Like, are your kids like in orange from head to toe, or what do we got going?
So my son has a jersey that he wears. But I will say, like, my husband hasn't forced it upon them because he doesn't want them to suffer from the same stuff. I will say I'm glad I work every Saturday during football season and I'm not around it. It has been a long, let's see, since 2010, since Lane Kiffin left, it's been a 11 years of, and I remember when Jeremy Pruitt came and my husband was like, this is the guy. And then it wasn't the guy. And
it wasn't the guy.
Church, and he's like on the message boards, because when I worked there, I like had free access to every single message board place. He's like, did you hear we're going to get so-and-so? And then this past year, they like recruiting like went nuts. And he's like, we're going to win a national championship. And I'm like, slow your roll, which is a little bit why with the baseball team. Like, they're now a baseball school.
Right.
But like, there's like the hesitancy to like really jump on the bandwagon. Cause it's like, you've just been burned so many times, whether it's basketball or football. Or the other night we were watching and it ended at the same time. The Lady Vols softball team was in the semifinals and they had the lead against Alabama, and Tennessee was playing in their Friday night game, and the heart of their order comes up in the ninth. And then both just like couldn't get it done. And it was like within a 5-minute span, and we were like flipping back and forth. And I was like, this is what it feels like on a weekly basis.
Well, we appreciate that Mario is not subjecting the kids to that, which is good for him. Although the Tennessee fans, those are good fans.
What about Berkey's kids? He's got 11 of them. Are they Tennessee fans?
No choice. They are draped in orange. It is. You know, I've been giving Berkey a hard time. I'm an unabashed Notre Dame football fan, and Notre Dame's quarterback, Ian Book, is like your 6-foot, under-recruited guy. And so I'm thinking, you know, Berkey, like, your kids obviously are huge Ian Book fans, right? No, not even close. They're like Trevor Lawrence fans. And I'm like, Berkey, you really have your kids locked in on a 6-foot-6 quarterback. Like, that's the modeling that you're doing. Your kids, they are more likely to be 5'6 than 6'6. And so, but, you know, they're – there you have it.
Yeah.
So, Fitzy, I need to update you, and KB witnessed this last year in Hoover. So I believe next Monday is the Hoover Invitational, that the golf those guys play before Hoover. Chris Burke, KP, Coach Neal, and the great Tom Schofield is going to man the course. So stay tuned for pictures and angry texts and tweets from that event.
You know, Sko's just going to rock him to sleep. You know, that's just what he does. He's the silent assassin. He just rolls in there all apathetic, and he's got a killer instinct.
And Berkey, like, you think, like, such a nice guy, comes from, like, such a wholesome family, throws more trash talk than anyone on that.
He's the best.
Just, like, the silent cockiness.
Yeah. Now, KP has thrown some, to your point, he's thrown some kind of sneaky shots. KP put a line out there. He gave us odds on who's going to have the worst golf outfit between Coach Neal and Sko. So KP is firing some shots at the golf shoes. So, all right. So moving forward, I'm going to ask you guys two kind of fun professional questions. Then we're going to do our series because you guys are the pros. This will be fun. So, and Fitz, you're going to answer this from a writer standpoint, and KB from a reporter broadcaster standpoint. So, and I'll start with you, KB. Who is the person that either you knew growing up or looked up to growing up that caused you to want to do this for your life? And I'm curious, like, is it someone you knew or someone like you just, you know, you watched them on TV and you thought, dang, that's exactly what I want to do?
Yeah, so I, growing up, wanted to be a hard news reporter. And my godfather was the main anchor at the ABC station in Dallas. And so I would go and shadow him. I put on the closed captioning on the TV, and like that would be me practicing doing the
news. Nice.
So that's what I went to college for, and then realized that I didn't really want to stand outside of a murder scene or a fire every night. And, you know, I grew up, you know, as an athlete, and my family has always been into sports. And so then kind of took the sports route, but that was kind of the person that just in terms of getting in the industry and wanting to be a reporter was my godfather.
Cool. What was his name?
Scott Sams. He's
cool.
But yeah.
Love it. All right, Fitzy, how about you? Favorite writer growing up or someone that you read that kind of rung the bell?
I love that story, first of all, about the closed captioning, because I used to be the kid who'd sit in my room with the, you know, playing Tecmo Super Bowl or RBI Baseball with the game on mute and doing all the play-by-play. That was me, which my parents just thought was adorable. But for me, Runes, it was Peter Gammons. I mean, that's the guy. Huzet's guy, you know, watched a lot of baseball. That's actually one of the reasons I went to UNC was Gammons was a Massachusetts guy who went to UNC. And I was kind of just following his blueprint. And of course, you know, over the years, I've met Peter a number of times doing Cape Cod League stuff. And he's just the nicest man in the world. I mean, just everything you could always, they say you shouldn't meet your heroes, but that's one that I'm glad I've met.
That's really cool. Gosh, I didn't know you're not supposed to meet your heroes. That's a bummer. Well, I guess that makes sense. If I met Lenny Dykstra and Pete Rose, it'd be a major bummer. Like literally my two favorite players on the field ever. And they're just, they couldn't be worse decision makers off the field. Like literally couldn't, if we instructed them to make bad decisions, they couldn't do it at a higher level than they've done it. So
there was a quote in our college, like sports office. And it said like sports reporters have the worst job because they're the few people that meet their idols and they don't live up to.
Yeah. Bummer. Yeah. That's well said. All right. So KB, favorite college baseball interview, and now you've got a famous one on your resume, but I don't want to steer you. I may ask you about that one, but what is your favorite college baseball interview that you've had?
So the famous one that I will always remember was Todd Peterson, LSU.
Best ever. Yeah.
Up there, hits a 2-run RBI double, and then afterwards, you know, I said, what did, you know, Coach Maneri tell you? And he's like, oh, I told him I hit bombs. And then afterwards, he was like, no, I never hit in high school.
It was an expose. Yes, it was great.
So good.
So that was good. One that I'll always remember was the last SEC baseball tournament when Vanderbilt won it. And I'm interviewing Corbs. And, you know, sometimes you can expect emotion. And this I did not. And he just started crying, talking about Donnie Everett because the one was on the wall and
that
would be the last time that it would be up there because Donnie would have graduated after that. And he got emotional and I'll remember that because I wasn't expecting it from him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean it from him. And so to be in that moment and feel what he was feeling was pretty cool.
Gosh, dang. You know, even without a super emotional, like once in a lifetime, we hope experience or, you know, backdrop to that. That tournament sucks people in. Like that's an emotional tournament. It really is. The coaches always say, hey, we're going there to just whatever happens, happens. We'll get ready for the postseason. And it's just like they get sucked in, tractor beamed in. And then, yeah, that turn. I mean, you win that SEC tournament. Now you've had a week. Like that's no joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fitzy, how about you? It could be this year. Could be history. What favorite college baseball interview?
Yeah, there are two that come to mind for me. They're cover stories for the college preview I did back in the day at Baseball America. And one of them was just shadowing Michael Roth for a whole day, just going with him to class, going with him to lift, and like just being around Roth while he was doing Roth things was just fantastic. I love that guy.
Yes.
And then the other one that comes to mind is a story on Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer. Where I sat down with each of them for like an hour back to back, and you know, and they were both, and they're both great, and I got to know them pretty well those 3 years living in California. But Gerrit was like just a consummate professional. He was always really good, even when he was struggling that 1 year as a junior, had a losing record. He was always really good to me and to the media. But like he gave you kind of like the conventional answers. And Bauer, there's just nothing conventional about the guy. And he's like, you know, that story actually, apparently, I found out after the fact, caused some tension between the two of them because Bauer was like, you know, telling stories about how Cole's just this rah-rah guy in the dugout. And sometimes I just want to be like, shut up, Garrett, you know, and like Cole didn't appreciate that. And so it's one of those things that kind of like highlighted the differences between the two of them and led to maybe some of the rift that has carried throughout the years, but I think that was probably just inevitable. They're just very, very different guys.
That's awesome. I still think that's one of John Savage's best coaching jobs is just taking those two kids through their 3 years of college. Because what we know now, you would think that those two kids, how could they even be teammates for three consecutive years and like survive it? And it was very like, you know, I don't recall it. I don't know if you recall differently, Fitzy. It was not like this rock fight in college, you know, like it was fairly quiet. It was interesting.
Yeah, they coexisted pretty well. You're right. And give Savage a lot of credit for managing those. And Bauer in particular, because he was the one guy. I mean, he wouldn't even lift with the rest of the guys. He had his own regimen. Like he was, which, you know, everyone else on the team was doing one thing and he was doing something completely different, which I imagine had to breed some resentment. But Savage made it all work. I mean, that guy is really, really good.
Fitzy, I'm like that for squeeze play bases loaded. Like I have my own personal trainer that comes in and stretches me before we jump on set. It's full blown prima donna mode. Just kidding. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
yes. Yes. Thank you for that. Though I am pretty particular about how many screens we have in front of us, KB. Like, and the answer is more. Like, yes, we need as many television screens as possible. So, all right, let's play the feud. So we're gonna kind of go round the horn here. KB, I will start with you, and we each pick five series, and we'll just go around and talk about the five that we picked one at a time, and why we're excited, why they're on our radar. And I as always, I've picked like 20, but I will try to refrain from naming all 20. So KB, you start us off. What's first on your radar?
Yeah, so being the Tennessee household, I picked Tennessee, South Carolina, because as I said before, like Tennessee's like the Taylor Swift song, Why Can't We Have Nice Things? So I feel like we will learn more about how they play against South Carolina than I learned about them this week against Arkansas and how they rebound from that.
Oh, I like it very much. And we talked on our podcast this week about, you know, South Carolina, they moved Brett Carey from, you know, kind of high leverage reliever to starter. Like that's, I'm with you. That's fascinating. Fitzy, have you seen the Vols in person this year or you have not?
I saw them for three games in Athens. So that was kind of early in SEC play. And at that time, we didn't really know just how good they were. They got off to a pretty good start in non-conference. But, you know, at that time, I walked away thinking, man, this team's really, really good offensively. And I just didn't know if they had enough arms to, you know, to make it all the way through. And lo and behold, I mean, they've made it work. You know, they've kind of patched it, especially without Jackson Leith, though. That's the thing that just blows me away is they've done all this without really the guy who's their best arm on their staff.
And crazy. If he sweeps and Vanderbilt were to sweep, Tennessee still gets the 2 seed, right, in Hoover? So then they would face Arkansas, would be in the championship. So that would be huge.
Gotta love it. Yeah, just, you know, that's another thing that slipped off my radar. But winning an SEC regular season championship really is a big deal. You know, like that's something you're telling posterity about. So, hey, KB, when you were at the Padres, was Josh Spence there at that time? The left-hander, the Australian left-hander? You just missed him. So anyway, he was at Arizona State with us, and his younger brother, Liam, is Tennessee shortstop. So, as Fitzy knows, because he interviewed Liam, unreal. Like, they're Australian, clearly.
Yeah.
And everyone, you know, all of the kids get nicknamed Mate. That's just what happens. But unbelievable family. Like, unreal people. Yep.
Super cool.
Yep. Gotta love it. All right, Fitzy, what are you throwing at us, game or series one here?
I'm going to go maybe in a direction you're not expecting. I'm going to pull a string on you. I got Big Ten first. I got Maryland, Michigan here. I think this is a neat matchup between two teams with, you know, really good starting pitching, which, as we've talked about over and over this year, there's not that many teams that have really good starting pitching. But, you know, Maryland is really played well down the stretch. And can they go to Ann Arbor and win that series? I mean, they got a shot at it. Especially if Sean Burke is back to form, and, you know, behind Savakul and Dean, those three guys, I think, can go toe-to-toe with Hajer and Weston for Michigan, and they both have kind of some talented position player guys. I think it's a really neat matchup.
That is awesome. The Big Ten is so cool. We talked about it on the podcast, KB, but the Big Ten has their top four teams, and just random schedule, those four teams play almost exclusively each other in the last two weekends. So it's just like best four teams in the cage match. Let's go.
That's awesome.
May the best team come out. So, all right. So I hope you guys are stretched before the podcast or before the IG Live. I'm going way off the radar here. I'm going the WAC.
Ooh.
Cal Baptist, coached by my good friend Gary Adcock, former UCLA assistant, Division II power, transitioning to Division I, is going to Grand Canyon. KB, you won't believe. I don't know if you've ever done a game in Phoenix at Grand Canyon.
No.
It's a for-profit university, so they are printing money. Like, when I say they're for-profit, I mean, they are really for profit. Like, it is like serious cash register. Their facilities are unreal. The Phoenix Suns train at Grand Canyon's basketball facility in the preseason, and they built an SEC baseball stadium. I'm not kidding you. This thing is massive. And then it's got Grand Canyon in there, and Andy Stankiewicz, former big leaguer, former Arizona State assistant. So anyway, Grand Canyon had their heart stripped out of their chest in 2019, went all the way through the winner's bracket in the WAC tournament, only to have Sacramento State win six straight games at a loser's bracket and beat them in a one-run game to go to the NCAA tournament. So anyway, Cal Baptist, they're not tournament eligible, so they can only win the regular season championship. Cal Baptist and Grand Canyon are both 27-5 in the WAC this year. They are 7.5 games beyond the field, and they are settling it in West Phoenix this weekend. And two coaches that I love and respect, two great programs. I mean, Cal Baptist, they're going to be great in Division I baseball. It's Riverside, California, for God's sakes. They were a Division II power. And so anyway, they're going through that transition period, which is like 100 years or whatever it is. But anyway, it's only 4, but it feels like 100.
Yes, for you to pull that out of your hat. I have always wanted to go to a Grand Canyon basketball game because from like the fans there just look awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. It's a really cool place. And they have a Chick-fil-A right on campus, by the way. So there's that. So still not open on Sundays, though. Fitzy?
I think I caught a game there. It was like a random Monday in February a couple years ago. I couldn't believe the crowd they had on a Monday afternoon. Oh, yeah. It was like the students were there. They were into it. And it was like, there's ambiance here. What's going on?
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, I think their basketball fans are called the Havocs or something like that. Like, they, to your point, KB, they take great pride in like making it uncomfortable for the opponent. So,
that's cool.
There we go. A little West Coast action. All right, KB, we're coming back to you. Round two.
I'm going to preface this with saying I'm not going to be Tom Hart, and I will eventually throw in a non-SEC matchup.
TV's Tom Hart. He did go. He did. He went SEC only.
What his knowledge is. But I am going to say Florida-Arkansas, a top 10 matchup. Von Walker is going to be insane at full capacity. Florida's played really well offensively as of late, back in May. I'm interested to see what Arkansas does with its starting rotation. They've left a 3 spot open. I'm interested to see how Florida also does in game one against Wicklander.
So did in the pitching matchups today, did Arkansas just go TBA all 3?
No, they Wicklander, Bolden, and then TBA for a 3rd.
Gotcha. That's awesome. That it's so fascinating that the number one team in the land, clearly, like, there's no disputing that. They, like, Dave Van Horn and Matt Hobbs wake up on Thursday mornings like, hey, we got to fill this form out. Like, does anybody have any ideas on who the 3 starters should be? Like, it's just insanity. Fitzy, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, that is insanity. It's amazing. It's amazing the season they've had with that unconventional format.
I like it.
I'm going to go out west runes as well here.
Please.
Stanford, Oregon. Big, big series in the Pac-12 this week. I think our boy Shotgun Spratling's going up there for this, which I'm excited we're going to have.
Public. Yes, Shotty.
But, you know, how good is Stanford now? I mean, they finally lost a series. They kind of won me over. I was a believer. And then they finally lose their first weekend series. So now you go on the road, you face Oregon. I mean, you know, we've talked about how Oregon is a more physical club this year. They've really worked hard on that piece to become more offensive. But they can still really pitch. You look at, you know, Kafka and Alstrom, those guys are having really good years for them on the mound. And, you know, Stanford can pitch too, Brandon Beck and Williams. And so I think it'll be I would expect a low-scoring series, especially at PK Park. But you never know. These teams are both a little bit better offensively than they have been.
So the head coach of Oregon, Mark Wasikowski, It's so funny that I think so fondly of him, because when I was at Arizona State, he was at Arizona, and recruiting against Waz was so miserable. Like, you'd call the recruit, Trevor Crow. I'll never forget. Trevor Crow was the guy we wanted. Ended up getting to the big leagues. And, like, I had a home visit with the Crows that I called Coach Murphy, and I was just like, Coach, like, you need to give me a raise. Like, I just crushed this home visit. Like, a home visit's never been crushed before. Like, and of course, we don't even do home visits anymore. I mean, I had a beer with his dad at the end of the night. Like, come on. Like, and he committed to Arizona. And, like, Trevor Crow, when we would play them, he wouldn't even look at us. Like, Waz was so good at, like, oh, man, you don't want to go to Arizona State. You'll never play. Like, they got Dustin Pedroia times 100, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, it was, you know, it was brilliant. Like, it was good. Woz was good. And he waited forever to be a head coach. He gets the job at Purdue, turns them around in a blink. I mean, like 180. And then he gets to Oregon, same thing. It's like year two. And it's like, boom, we're like, how do you go from, you know, not relevant really to top eight seed? Like, this is craziness. So anyway, I mean, I know the kids have a ton to do with it. You know, the kids at Oregon have done an amazing job. But anyway, that is a really good one. The Pac-12 having a renaissance year in a lot of ways. All right, so I got to pick. I'm trying to refrain from picking two so I don't, like, take a series that you guys are going to pick. But, all right, I can always do that at the end. You know what? You mentioned something earlier this week, Fitzy. Long Beach State is a team that's not on the at-large radar, and maybe they should be, but it's hard to evaluate them. They started in March. They only played Big West teams, we think. So anyway, they're playing the Titans. They're playing Fullerton. Fullerton's having a terrible year. Fullerton's having the worst year in the history of the program, which is crazy. But this is such a great college baseball rivalry. We need this rivalry back. Like, these are these two Orange County schools that have unreal baseball traditions. Like, big time big leaguers have come out of these places. They've been to Omaha several times. And so, you know, like Long Beach, if they're going to continue to creep into the conversation, they got to smoke Fullerton this weekend. Like, it's got to be at least 3 out of 4 games, if not 4 out of 4 games. But I love the direction of Long Beach under Eric Valenzuela. But again, I just, more than anything, I want that rivalry back. It is so cool. When they played in that super regional in 2017, at Blair Field, it would be like KB, like a final 8 game in the NCAA basketball tournament being played at the Philadelphia Palestra, you know, like one of those cathedrals. So anyway, I'm in on Long Beach State and the Titans. There you go. Fitzy?
Let me just correct you as a former Orange County guy. Long Beach is an LA County.
So you gotta, sorry.
You're one of our West Coast guys. You gotta represent. Come on.
Oh, that's right. That's my bad. Yeah, if they were in Orange County, they would have played more games, it feels like. So there you go. Yes, thank you for correcting me, Fitzy. That's good. We needed that. Yeah, the dirt bags are just slamming their phones into the turf right now. So that's good. All right, KB, round three. Here we go.
Okay, so I'm sticking close to my home. TCU, Kansas State, for this reason. I was so excited about that TCU-Texas series. It was so good. The crowd in Fort Worth was awesome. The first two games of that series were fantastic. And I was really excited about the direction that TCU was going. And then it dropped 2 out of 3 to ULM. So you guys dropped them down to 12 out of a national seed. So I don't know if they can do enough unless they maybe beat Texas in the Big 12 tournament to hop back into the top eight. But they need a rebound. Their starting pitching needs to rebound this weekend.
I agree. That was a great atmosphere. Go ahead, Fitzy.
We dropped them in the rankings. We actually still have them as a top eight. We have, I think it's number 7 in this projection, but it's like just because they're first place in the Big 12. But I mean, yeah, that's a bad series loss. Like that's a really bad stumble. And this is a tricky series. Kansas State does have talent. We've talked about this a lot this year. I mean, especially in the mound, they're not a pushover. So yeah, it's a big series.
Yeah. But to your point, KB, like I felt like that crowd in Fort Worth for the Texas series was, I know there have been other really good crowds. I know that's the case. But for whatever reason, for me personally, that was the crowd. Maybe it's because the stadium's smaller, but that was the crowd that was like, oh, wow, like maybe sports can look like this again. You know, like, and maybe because it is smaller or whatever, but it was awesome. It was like, it was pre-pandemic sports fandom. Yeah. It was so awesome.
I was texting Tom Hart, even though he wasn't at the game, but I was like, you know, you could feel it through the audio. Like I could feel that it felt normal. Like that was the first one, as you were saying, that I was like, this feels normal again.
Yeah. KB, you may appreciate this. I've told Fitzy this story. So, you know, our good friend Kyle Peterson, KP, we're doing these games from our home, and Tim and Tom Hart had the Texas TCU series. So our good friend Scott Gustafson, Gus, texts me, it like all hot and bothered at like, let's say the game's at 7, at like 10 after 6. Hey, KP's having internet problems. Are you around tonight? And I was like, well, yeah, I'm around. I was actually just going to sit in my office and watch the game that you guys are doing. And so I run, get my polo on. I had to shave. I had to like figure out scorebook. I put in the starting lineup, like get the, you know, you got to get your kit set up, the whole thing. So like I'm in the bullpen getting hot in a fury. And then literally KP, like 15 minutes before game time, is totally cool and fine. And I'm like, I was whining to Fitzy, like, you know, like here I am getting super hot in the bullpen and like don't even get in the game. And so anyway, but hey, we would do it in a heartbeat again for sure. So Fitzy, you're up, right?
I think I am. I'm going to go ACC here. Mm-hmm. Florida State, NC State is where I'm going to be this weekend. Really looking forward to this. I actually haven't seen Florida State in person since the fall, so just kind of saving it for this weekend. And all of a sudden, these teams are both entering this series with a lot of momentum. If it was possible for them to host, then this might be a series that could catapult one of these teams to hosting. Because think about it. I mean, NC State, as bad as they were early, I think they were, what, 1-8 to start ACC play? Right now, they're sitting here at 17-13. I mean, if they win this series, get to 19-14, or you know, I don't think they're going to sweep it, but if they did, if they got to 20-13, I mean, you'd be looking at this like, wow, like this team's going to host a regional. You know, they can't host regional this year. It's stupid, again, that they name these things so early. But the fact is, like, they got momentum. And, you know, I know Elliott Avent loves his team. He loves the makeup, the toughness. They don't have a ton of pitching, but they can really hit. They can really defend. And Florida State is kind of, you know, built differently. They have a lot of pitching. And offense has some vulnerabilities. But you know, I just think that it's a neat matchup with the contrasting styles and two teams that are both hot.
Yeah, I mean, like NC State's like the only certainty in the ACC right now because they went 1-8 and now they've gone 16-5. I feel like they're the only team I can count on in that league where they're not going to just like, you know, it's just like these ACC teams, they look one way one weekend and then you see them the next weekend. It's like, you know, it'd be like if I took my wife Jenny out the first date and I had hair and then I showed up bald the next week. I feel like that's what the ACC is doing. It's like I don't even recognize them week to week. That's a good one, Fitzy. I'm going to stay in the ACC. I'm only going to pick one of these series that I'm looking at. I'm going to pick Duke at Clemson. Duke was left for dead, but like I think by everyone paying attention, 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, they have come screaming from the back like a horse race. They're now 13-17. Still a ton of work to do, but they're hanging around back there, and they're going to Clemson, who's 16-17. Clemson's been part of six sweeps this year. Three times they've swept, three times they've been swept. So who knows what can happen that weekend? But I just, again, Duke is the perfect example of the ACC this year. Just when you think it's safe to come outside, it's not safe. Like, as soon as you think they're done, you know, better luck next year, here come the Dukies. So there you go. KB, round four.
So this one's probably not going to be a very good baseball game, but I am intrigued by Auburn, Missouri. Solely for the fact of 2 years ago, we were watching Auburn nearly make the championship series if it wasn't for some errors. And now are on the cusp. I mean, I believe they control their own destiny of making the SEC tournament. If they were, I think even if they win two of three, anyways, how a team 2 years later is on the verge of not even making it to Hoover when they were playing in Omaha. Now Missouri's terrible in the bottom of the SEC. And that's a whole nother story of postseason bans and everything. But it's definitely not one that people will be tuning into, but I'm intrigued to see what happens there.
It's such a good point, KB, because not only were they in Omaha 2 years ago, it's a lot of these same kids, mm-hmm. You know, like Steven Williams, Ryan Bliss, you know, Rankin Woolley, like, you know, and again, like the pitching, you know, eventually, did I see, by the way, that Keegan Thompson is in the big leagues and thriving, or somebody put something on Twitter where Keegan Thompson is, I mean, he was the guy that to me, like got it kind of kicked off and then Casey Mize and then Tanner Burns. So anyway, like you can only have first round picks on the mound for so long, right? Like I guess unless you're Florida, then you can just have them forever. But that is fascinating. Really is. By the way, KB, one of my favorite all-time Mizzou Tigers, TJ Sikkema.
Oh, yeah!
So good. Yeah. Iowan, yes. Yeah. Yes. Blood and guts, Missouri Tiger.
my Fitzy. Honor. Oh,
that's right.
Baseball is good there. It's awesome.
Yes, agreed. Round four, Fitzy.
All right, I got Big East runes. I think you know where I'm going here. We got a 4-game set. I'm trying to pick your pocket. That's what I'm trying to do.
I am crossing out the series right now. Consider that pocket picked. Snipage.
UConn and Seton Hall. It's a neat one. UConn still only played 13 conference games. They're 9-4, but all the COVID stuff. Seton Hall is played 23. They're 16-7. That equates to almost an identical winning percentage. You know, it's like 696 for Seton Hall, 692 for UConn. So I don't know what you can really learn from that. I just think it's kind of neat and quirky. But, you know, these are both teams that feel like they could, you know, cause somebody some trouble in a regional, especially UConn. I've been saying this all along. I really believe UConn will benefit from the early tests that they didn't pass, but they hung in there. They were competitive with some very difficult games on the road early. And they've had all this nonsense with the COVID stuff. But Seton Hall has been kind of the team at the top of the standings most of the way. So we got a 4-game set. Seton Hall coming off, I think, a split with Creighton, if I'm not mistaken, a 4-game split. So, you know, it should be a really good litmus test for these two teams, and probably a 1-bid league. So it really comes down to the automatic bid anyway. But I'm interested to see how these teams match up.
Seton Hall, the pride of New Jersey. You guys, I got to tell a story. We're gonna take a quick timeout. You guys may appreciate this. So, KB, you don't know this, but Fitzy does. Like, I've been a Connecticut apologist all year. I wrote their fall report. I'm all in on Connecticut. If they make the postseason, I'm just telling you, look out. Like, this is the best UConn team they've had talent-wise. And people don't know, they've made 6 of the last 10 NCAA tournaments. This is a really good baseball program. They got a gorgeous new stadium. Jim Penders, they do an unbelievable job. So anyway, in the wintertime, they have a really cool fundraiser that they do, that they raise money, and then they buy tickets to their home games and distribute them to grade schools in tough areas. And the way they generate publicity is they have this hot sauce challenge where former players and people associated with the program, the coaches, etc., they get hot sauce and they do shots and they make a video of it and like to promote, you know, and it goes all over Twitter. They call it the hot sauce challenge. So I don't like spicy food at all. Like, if I drive by a Thai restaurant, I'm sweating, right? Like, I just not my thing. And so my wife, Jenny, second mention on this IG Live, by the way, you go, J-Ro. So she found some hot sauce in the fridge the other day. And she's like, okay, do we need to talk about something? Like, what's going on here? And I'm like, well, it is a long story. So anyway, I saw it on Twitter and I tweeted back at them like, hey, this is really cool. Good on you guys, right? So the SID for UConn tweets back at me and says, like, hey, Runes, that's so cool that you think this is cool. How about you participate? And I'm like, oh, crap. How about I delete my original tweet and we pretend this conversation never happened, right? It's like, so I'm, but it's the wintertime and it's college baseball, so I'm in. So now I'm like researching what is the least hot sauces. I actually texted their assistant coach, Josh McDonald, their pitching coach. I'm like, dude, I'm having convulsions over here. I'm so nervous. What is baby hot sauce? And he coached me through it. So I made the video. It was super fun. I didn't die. But Mason Fioli, their quirky left-hander from last year, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, Fitzy, but he, you know, he's your vintage left-hander, really good, by the way. He did the Ocean Spray commercial with the Fleetwood Mac song, chugging hot sauce. You know the one with the guys on the skateboard and he gets the Ocean Spray raspberry drink?
Oh, yeah.
And he's chugging it with that really cool Fleetwood Mac song. He did that with hot sauce. Like, the videos were really cool. It was like former players and their wives. It was the coaches. It was so cool. But anyway, so sorry about the long digression, but I am so locked in on the UConn Huskies.
Well, because you had a down hot sauce, I would be too.
Oh gosh, scared out of my mind, KB. Like, yep. I just
milk waiting.
I didn't even think about milk. I did have toast ready. Like, I was thinking about making out a will. Like, I was really not. It was not the best version of Mike Rooney, if I'm being honest. Scared out of my mind.
Moons, are you like KP? Your go-to ice cream flavor is vanilla.
Oh my gosh! Yes. Yeah. Yes, J-Ro, not on that. Like, she's all about, like, exotic chocolates. I'm vanilla. Vanilla, like, if I'm really feeling squirrely, like, vanilla bean, we'll mix that in, you know.
Look that up.
Yeah. How about you guys? What are our favorite ice cream flavors?
I don't love ice cream, to be honest. I'd rather have like a chocolate chip cookie. So if I had to have ice cream, it would be like chocolate chip cookie dough.
Yeah, there you go. Favorite dessert's probably a better question. Fitzy?
Yeah, I go with like some kind of like a mint chocolate chip deal, you know, whatever they call that. That's up my alley. I like the mint and chocolate's a good combination.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so Fitzy, you just picked my pocket. I like it. That was well done. All right, I gotta throw. Well, okay, so I'm gonna say this. The A-Sun has this really interesting thing going on for their tournament this year. They have 4 quarterfinals this weekend. Team Vanilla, Angela Rogers, I see you working. See? A lot of smart people in that Rogers household, Team Vanilla. Well done. So the A-Sun, they're playing the top 8 teams are playing best of 3 series for the right to go to a 4-team regional next week. That's how the A-Sun is doing their tournament, which is really unique and interesting. So, so there you go. So that's interesting for the A-Sun. Go ahead, KB.
An ice cream.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Look at you, John Glenn. I see you working. You see that, Fitzy? It's the emoji version of KB's argument. If I can give – I'll slam them in at the end. Let's go. Let's just keep moving. So I'm doing A-Sun quarterfinals. You're getting bonus points for creativity. I'm all in. I'm in for the creativity. So, KB, you are up. You're series number 5.
Yeah, I feel like this is kind of a bandwagon thing, but Vanderbilt, Kentucky – because when I watched Vanderbilt at the beginning of the year, I was like, write it in. World Series champs. I don't understand how anyone could beat that 1-2. Rocker loses this weekend. Leiter had to have a weekend off. Pitched really well this weekend. How does he, you know, is there fatigue after that? How does Rocker bounce back? I don't know. Like, I'm just surprised at some of the losses. There was no way anyone was going to be able to take a series from them. That's what I thought back in March. And now I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they're definitely beatable.
Yeah. It's interesting. By the way, that SEC special that our friend KP did with the Rockers and Lighters, 7 minutes. If you have not watched this, you got to get on. It is so cool. Like such cool families, such interesting backgrounds. By the way, KB, I don't know if you know this, but we sent Fitzy down to Oxford last weekend to fix Jack Leiter, and he did. 7 innings, 13 punch outs. Fitzy just really kind of worked on being a little bit more aggressive, getting on top of the breaking ball, thumb on top, and yeah. Here we go.
You're welcome, America.
You are welcome, America. Yes, America is better when Kumar and Jack Leiter are dealing. And hey, like I'm up for somebody beating them at their best, but not at their best. So there you go.
The piece that KP did, it was like a Mother's Day thing, and listening to both of their moms talk about what it's like to watch, and it's like how nervous they get for the other mom. You know, mm-hmm. Those things you don't think about. That was cool.
Yep, for sure. So I'll say this on back in the day on, you know, like recruiting, you do the big dinners, and man, like, and I'm just saying this to the male species, like. Gosh, guys, we would act like the dads would be such a struggle at the recruiting dinners, and like the moms would be so locked in on the important stuff. And it's just like, gosh, dang it. Like, come on, guys. Like, you want to pull the dads into the bathroom and say, come on, man. Like button it up right now. Like, you're embarrassing all of us. Like, we know your kid's awesome. Like, we don't need to tell the waiter about it. We don't need to tell the cooks in the restaurant about it. Like, everybody gets it. That's why we're at Don and Charlie's. Come on. But anyway, we digress. Fitzy, are you up for number 5?
I am. You've had some quality digressions tonight, man.
Seriously, too much cough syrup tonight.
Vintage runes tonight. I'm gonna try to pick your pocket again here. This is going to be great. You said bonus points for creativity.
Yes.
We got several conference tournaments in action. Let's see if Jackson State can run the table, first of all.
That's undefeated. Great one.
Undefeated in the SWAC this year, 24-0. Try to keep that going. Actually, I think they already had a game today. I probably should check the score before I brought this up just to make sure that they won. But that's one, Jackson State. NC Central, the storybook end to their run in Division I, potentially. You know, they won the okay, Jackson State did win today. I'm off the hook. They won 7-4 against Texas Southern. They're underway. Central won their division in the MEAC. They got 2 really good pitchers there leading the way with Ryan Miller and Austin Vernon, 2 guys that I wouldn't want to see in my regional. Mm. That and you know they're doing it of course for for the city of Durham, you know, and I think that's a neat story. We'll see if they can go out with a bang. They've never been to a regional. They brought the program back in about a decade ago, thereabouts, and maybe more than that now, but trying to finish with a trip to the NCAA tournament. That would be a cool story. And then the other one, Runes, was Fairfield. You know, the MAC tournament, I believe, is underway this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. And let's see if the Stags can keep, you know, look, they're going to be in a regional regardless. They've earned it, 33-1. That's pretty cool. Yes, their tournament does start this week. I just had to make sure I got my facts right. I'm bouncing around. But that's been one of the neat stories of college baseball this year. And let's see if they can close the deal here in the tournament.
You know what's funny is, like, okay, I'm not saying I don't want Fairfield to win the MAC tournament, but I almost don't want them to win the MAC tournament because I want them to be the first at-large bid in the history of that league. That will be so cool. And you know how I feel about redemption in college sports and college baseball. And Bill Currier was the coach at Vermont when they dropped the dang program, and now he's at Fairfield and just blowing it up. And you're right, go Stags. KB, the Stags have a pitcher, John Signor, speaking of good Italian names, and he's like he's listed at 5'11", 230. I don't know. Like, I think the height might be that way and the weight might be that way, but he is awesome. 6-year senior. He's got like 49, maybe 50 career starts, 20-plus wins. They call him Baby Bartolo because it's just like fastball with movement. It's awesome. So he is my spirit animal. But go Stags. It's super cool. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We got a couple minutes left. I'm going to give you guys some 3-packs, and I just want you to pick the one that rings, you know, that you prefer of my 3-pack, whether you just like the location, it sounds like a cool place. I'm giving you Eric Sorensen's The Stitchhead Learjet. You can go anywhere. It's on the house. It's on Kyle Peterson. All right, so here's the first 3-pack. Kansas at Texas Tech, Ole Miss at Georgia, Nebraska and Ohio State at Indiana. Kansas at Texas Tech, Ole Miss at Georgia, Nebraska and Ohio State at Indiana. KP, which one of those three ring your bell?
I can't believe I'm saying this because I'm not a big fan of Lubbock, but their fans in all of their sports are freaking
awesome.
Fantastic. And so I would love to see a game there.
Yes, it's worth it. It is.
Get out.
Yeah, it is worth it. It is. Their fans are awesome, and it is a crazy place to play baseball.
Real fast, if you ever do a football game or go to a football game, they throw tortillas on the field when they score. And the first time I did a game there was with Joe Davis, who now is the Dodgers. And someone scores a touchdown, and he goes, "Oh, wait, there's a flag." And then he
yeah. That's great. It was tortilla. Thank you. Oh, gosh. Fitzy, what do you think about that 3-pack? You got a preference?
A good 3-pack. I'm going to take the Big Ten. You know, you talked about earlier how those teams are playing each other down the stretch, and then Ohio State has a chance to be spoiler. You know, they got the pitching if those guys are locked in. Those are big arms. It's just, will they throw enough strikes? They have some juice in the middle of that lineup. Ohio State could come in there and wreck things for those other teams that are, Indiana and Nebraska. They're trying to win a Big Ten title.
Yep. No, I like it. All right. So I did lie. I'm going to give you guys 2 4-packs, and we'll finish with 2 4-packs. Okay. 4-pack number 1, Arizona State going to Southern California, Arizona going to play the Beavers in Corvallis, LaSalle, the Explorers, 32-17, going to St. Joe's, the Wawa Bowl, part 2, and Virginia at 16-17 going to BC. So I got the Sun Devils at Southern Cal, I got Arizona at Oregon State, I got LaSalle at St. Joe's, and I got Virginia at Boston College. KB, any of those ring a bell for you?
I go to Corvallis, but I don't watch enough Pac-12 baseball.
Nobody does. It's impossible.
We're SEC and Big 12, a little ACC where I am, and so I would love to go to Corvallis and watch a little bit more Pac-12.
Cool baseball atmosphere. Really is. Yeah, that's a good one. Fitzy, what are you thinking about that 4-pack? What do you got?
Well, I'll go to Boston College because I've been to their new ballpark, but only for a fall scrimmage. I've not been for a spring game. The weather, who knows, might actually be nice this time of year up there. It is almost Memorial Day. And Virginia really needs this series. They're playing for their postseason lives. I think it's right there in front of them. Win 2 out of 3. I think they're in. Sweep. It should be in comfortably. Lose 2 out of 3. They got a lot of work to do in the conference tournament.
Yep. A lot of Coach of the Year candidates in there. Arizona State, you know, I wrote a piece this week about Arizona State and what they've, you know, last year they had the most players drafted in the country, five players in the first four rounds. They didn't get to play it out with that unbelievable team. They're the first pick overall. And then these kids have just fought through everything. They've lost their whole rotation to injury. They lost their best hitter to injury. They lost their closer to injury. And yet they're still an NCAA tournament team as we sit here today. You know, David Miller, LaSalle, we've talked about it, 32-17. That's a program record in the year in which their school is dropping baseball. I mean, think about that. Program record for wins the same year that they're dropping the sport. And if they get it done this weekend, they win the A-10 North. So stand down, St. Joe's. Don't do that to your brethren from the Big Five. And then you mentioned Virginia. KB, Virginia lost their first five series of the year in the ACC. And it was not – they were preseason, like, what, top 15 team, Fitzy?
Yes.
And it was ugly. I mean, it was not good. And they, like, to Fitzy's point, they've come screaming back. So
right. I mean, that game's not in Charlottesville, but that I spent 2 years there, and that place is awesome to watch a game too.
Yeah, really is cool. I haven't been since they've renovated either. So, all right. So last one, Oklahoma at Baylor, Eastern Michigan is at Central Michigan, Ball State is at Ohio. The reason that's important is because Central and Ball State are both 23-9. And they are playing for the MAC championship, basically, because there's no tournament. So the next 2 weekends, Central Michigan and Ball State are duking it out. San Diego State is going to Air Force. Air Force has an RPI of 45, and they're both 2.5 games back of Nevada. So good on Air Force. I mean, just ridiculous what they're doing. Awesome. And then Mercer, 17-7 in the league. They're going to play Wofford, 19-8, for the Southern Conference Red Division Championship. And Southern Conference, I love you as a conference, but really, blue and red are our divisions? Like, can we get a task force on that? I mean, unless there's something I'm missing, Fitzy. Blue and red, come on now. So there you go. So let me repeat. OU at Baylor. You can either go to the EMU at CMU, Ball State at Ohio, San Diego State at Air Force, Colorado Springs, or Mercer at Wofford. Any preferences?
I thought I had it picked until you said Air Force. I'm going to take the 2-hour drive to Baylor. This is going to be a cop out because you're so far beads of some of these teams here that
that's right.
A cop out and say, I'm going to take a 2-hour drive down to Waco. I'm going to stay in the Magnolia bread and bed.
Nice.
And go in some shops and pick me up some candles.
That's awesome. By the way, Baylor, that's a good one, KB, because Baylor's playing for their life. Like they've put themselves in a real pickle. So that's a good one. Fitzy.
You know, I've never been to a game at Air Force, and I think I would like to check that out. And I'd like to see if this team's for real. You know, it's a neat story. The job that, you know, Coach Kaz has done there. It's not an easy place to win, but They got a two-way guy who throws like 98 miles an hour who's had a really good year that I think could be you know, on the next Golden Spikes cut list. So they got an interesting club, and the Aztecs, man, they got players too. I mean, another team I haven't seen, but you know, Jaden Fine's had a big year. Matt Rudick's had a big year. We know that Wyatt Hendry's a good player. I mean, they I'm actually surprised they haven't really run away with that league. I like their team a lot in the year, so. I don't know. I think that league's better than people maybe expected it to be, better than we gave them credit for. But Nevada is the team that's kind of pulled away. But Air Force is right there, actually has a chance at that large, as crazy as that seems.
Yeah, it is crazy. All right, so Coach Kaz, I'm looking up his name. Do you know his actual last name? Is it Kazansky? No, that's the top character. Kozlowski?
Kozlowski.
Kozlowski. So Coach Kaz. So here's what you need to know about Coach Kaz, KB. He played at Air Force for Paul Mannery. He's legitimately a former fighter pilot. Like, that's what he did after he got done playing Air Force. Like, legitimately flew those planes, and now he's back coaching and doing an unbelievable job. I mean, they are so disadvantaged in that league. It's not even funny. And they always compete with the big dogs in the Mountain West. So, awesome. You guys did awesome, speaking of. Thank you for this. This was a blast.
Hey, I have a question.
Yes.
In your tweet, and I promoted this, something about red wines in Omaha?
Yes.
Well, where are we going to go with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, it's whatever the Hilton bar is offering is basically our only choice, right? Like, that's the if you got something better, KB, I am in. But it's really whatever the Hilton bar is serving up is what I'm going with.
I found a fantastic wine bar down in downtown Omaha. It is so good. It's got this little outdoor patio, and they sell like every region of
wine. Wow.
Yeah, I'll show you. Where
is that the French place? The little like French cafe kind of like. It's a Teddy Cahill favorite, I believe.
Teddy C likes the finer things now. Come on.
I found that place once, and I was like, I then went like three different times after that. I did.
That's great. Yep. All right, KV.
Folks, take the ladder.
That game on. Let's go. I don't have to do the Hilton bar every night. We can all be grown ups and go to a real wine bar one night. I think we can do that.
Hey, Runes, my go to wine in Omaha is whatever bottle Kyle orders at the Drover with our steaks.
That's right. Boom. That's what he said. Yes. Hey, this was super fun, and the next 30 to 45 days are going to be such a blast. So looking forward to breaking bread and clinking drinks with you two. This is going to be so fun. So good on you. Well done.
Thanks.
Great stuff, everybody. Enjoyed it.
All right. See you guys. Have a good night.
Bye, guys.
See ya.